Your young men shall see visions. I come up here rather than down there as we did last week. I'm getting into that class of the old men. And my eyes are failing me. My ears are going. And I couldn't help but think, well, I can still dream. And the young men, after what Charles Althoff had to say today, are seeing visions that are reaching out. As it said, go ye into all the world. We can't help but say amen to that. This morning, we're going to use a favorite translation of Elder Reuben MacArthur, the new King James Version, or the Message. He's got a smile on his face. We recommend and encourage the brethren, when they're studying the scriptures, to use not only their personal Bible, and incidentally, if you don't have yours to follow the Message, there's a pulpit copy just ahead of you. It's the New American Standard Bible. These various translations will assist you in your study of God's Word. So from time to time, we would use a little different translation. You can follow it in your particular personal Bible. Our message this morning is entitled, Pursued. Now, Charles Spurgeon, the golden preaching voice of yesterday, said, the great tyrant has not forgotten you. And he designs your capture and re-enslavement. The Apostle Paul admonished the Church of God at Corinth that they must not lust after evil things by using the illustrative story of Israel's wanderings in the wilderness. In like manner, he advises the Church of God of today in these words, and we invite you now to turn in your Bible to 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, and note the 11th and 12th verses. This is the admonition of Paul. Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, on whom the ends of the age have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. Thus said the Apostle Paul. Robert J. Morgan has written the book called The Red Sea Rules. Now this book lists 10 God-given strategies for difficult times. It is the Red Sea Rule number 1. Acknowledge your enemy and keep your eyes on the Lord that we choose to base our remarks on today, using God's word in Exodus chapter 14, verses 5 through 9. And we invite you to turn now in your Bible to Exodus chapter 14, verses 5 through 9. That'd be pages 83 and 84 in your pew Bible, which reads, now it was told the king of Egypt that the people had fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? So he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. Also, he took 600 choice chariots, and all the chariots of Egypt, with captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with boldness. So the Egyptians pursued them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen and his army, and overtook them, camping by the sea. Thus readeth the word of the Lord. I acknowledge that our enemy is the devil. And I do try to keep my eyes on the Lord. The enemy sometimes launches direct frontal attacks, but Satan is usually more conniving and deceitful. Paul warns us against the wiles of the devil in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, where he tells us to take upon ourselves all the armor that God's provided for us. He tells us to take it on us. Why? That we might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, whenever he attacks, however, whether covertly or overtly, he is closer and crueler than we realize. Like the Pharaoh of the Exodus. I want you to know that in Exodus chapter 13, if you still have your Bible open to Exodus 14, just turn the page there to the 15th verse of Exodus 13. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh was stubborn about letting us go, that the Lord killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of animals. Therefore, I sacrifice to the Lord all males that open the womb, but all the firstborn of my sons I redeem. Exodus chapter 13, verse 15. Now picture this. This word we have just read from God's word is but a brief summary of the 10th and the final plague on the Egyptians. It summarizes the disaster of Pharaoh's midnight judgment of the Lord. Now picture the king of Egypt when he gazes out over his wasteland. Can you see old Pharaoh looking out over the land of Egypt, his wasted domain? He saw slave ghettos deserted like ghost towns. His building projects were suspended, and the sound of construction had ceased. There was no pounding of hammers, scraping of rocks, or shouting of the slave masters. The snap of the whip was hushed, nor was there a slave nearby to minister to his needs. Pharaoh was plundered and humbled before his countrymen. His anger rose like the sun on a hot day. Now hear Pharaoh cry, "Summon the generals, wake the troops, man the chariots." See the weary soldiers scrambling from their beds and barracks. Glimpse the horses bolting from their stalls as the army was mobilized in record time. Turn now with me to the book of Exodus, the 14th chapter, our scripture text. And note in the 9th verse that the Egyptians pursued them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen and his army, and overtook them camping by the sea. Can you picture that? Can you see that in your mind's eye view? Pharaoh leading his army, his captains, his soldiers, his chariots, his horsemen, all going forward to battle under the orders of Pharaoh, pursuing the runaway slaves. Have you ever felt pursued? Have you? Oppressed? Sensed the devil nipping at your heels? Ever wondered if your accompanying troubles were composed by a wicked, invisible hand? Suspected that your depression or anger stemmed from a hostile origin? The third Red Sea rule is acknowledge your enemy, but keep your eyes on the Lord. Mona Gansberg Hodgson expressed God's pursuing love in these words: God breaks through chaos, cries, and chatter, not with fiery condemnation or condescending concern, but with a whisper, "I care. I love you. Come away. Spend time with me." Replacing chaos with gentleness, cries with comfort, chatter with communion, he speaks peace. Now consider some of the parallels between Pharaoh and Satan. Both are unyielding enemies, coveting the power of God for themselves. Both have been spoiled by the Almighty, and both are infuriated beyond endurance. Both have assembled vast armies for destroying God's people. Well, Pharaoh didn't seem to realize how utterly defeated he was. Likewise, Satan does not realize how utterly he was and is being defeated. The Bible likens Satan to five different animals. In Genesis chapter 3, he's a serpent trying to deceive God's people. In Matthew chapter 13, a bird trying to devour God's harvest. In John 10, Jesus pictures him as a wolf attacking God's flock. He is a lion trying to devour God's children in 1 Peter chapter 5. And in Revelation chapter 12, he's a dragon wanting to destroy God's son. God has provided his children with a remedy for Satan's devastating attacks. The blood of Jesus Christ forgives our sins and resolves our guilt. His resurrection frees us from the fear of death, and it satisfies our need for eternal importance and happiness. The presence of the Lord surrounds us while his word sustains us. His grace heals our whip wounds. Jesus said, "Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." But Satan doesn't surrender his prey without a fight. He pursues the converted soul, chariot wheels churning the desert sand, seeking to discourage you, to defeat you. He pursues you with the intensity of Pharaoh. He may use your old friends, persecution, or discouraging responses by your family. He may show you a hypocrite in the church. Point him, "That's what your church people are like." Or he might discourage your zeal. He may confront your heart with temptation or thrust a series of trials and troubles into your life. He works to trap you in difficulty, to involve you in trouble, to corner you in a hopeless situation. Presently, suffering pain, worry, anguish, or illness, the devil is undoubtedly involved to a greater or lesser degree. If you're undergoing difficulties, no doubt Satan's behind it. Acknowledge Satan's wiles, but don't be intimidated by him. You can resist him by the power of God, by God's word, and the precious redeeming blood of Jesus Christ. In fact, our Lord enjoins you to such resistance. We recommend memorizing God's word, and when threatened by the devil's tricks, to do as Jesus did, as when he was confronted by the tempter's temptations. It's written in Matthew chapter 4. Just picture with me, if you will, that old tempter coming to Jesus in the wilderness and asking him to turn the stones into bread, replying, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth forth from the mouth of God." Matthew 4:4. Perhaps you have reached the place where you declare with the words of Robert C. Jones, "I am lost on the knife edge of winter, weary, broken, sickened with fright. Still his quiet voice calls through the darkness to find me, to bind me, to lead me at last back to light." When we resist the enemy, when we stand our ground, when we resist his schemes, when we shake off discouragement, Satan leaves. He is drowned in the Red Sea of the blood of Jesus Christ. And I say amen to that. Every time we resist the slightest temptation, we honor God. Every time we overcome the smallest problem by trusting and obeying our Lord, God is glorified in us by our lives. Whenever we choose character over convenience, faithfulness over ease, or honesty over deceit, we honor the Lord. When we serve Him with obedience, even in small things, God is glorified, just as He was at the Red Sea. At the Red Sea, confronted on all sides by the obstacles of the desert, the mountains, and the pursuing armies of Egypt, Israel was told, and we invite you now to turn again to the book of Exodus, the 14th chapter, and verses 13 and through 15. Exodus 14, verses 13 through 15. And Moses said to the people, picture this if you will now, "Do not be afraid, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." And the Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward." In her poem, incidentally, which is printed in your bulletin today and you can refer to it, Annie Johnson Flint's poem, "At the Place of the Sea," she asks, "Have you come to the Red Sea place in your life where in spite of all you can do, there is no other way but through? Then wait on the Lord with a trust serene, till the night of your fear is gone. He will send the winds, He will heap the floods, when He says to your soul, go on." The Lord says to each one of us, "Go on! Go on, I'm with you! I'm your helper, and I will see you through. Tell the word, proclaim the good news that Jesus saves." Pursued by Satan, as the Israelites were by Pharaoh, "Stand tall and straight, for the Lord is your helper, and He will see you through. Go forward. Go forward.